Welcome, welcome to Thirsty Thursday podcast from Isaiah 51. Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. And the waters that we will drink from today are the waters from 1 John that are words of love one another. Love one another. And we will wrestle a little bit and pull some things apart and put back together again. But glad that you are diving into this podcast wherever you are out there in the world. And before I read the scripture to you, I want to give you a litany of thanksgiving. Because I think every day is an opportunity to begin with thanksgiving. And this litany of thanksgiving is from Howard Thurman with some strong words. I begin with the simple things of my days. Fresh air to breathe, cool water to drink. The taste of food, the protection of houses and clothes, the comforts of home. For these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I bring to mind all the warmth of humankind that I have known, my mother's arms, the strength of my father, the playmates of my childhood, the wonderful stories brought to me from the lives of many who've talked of days gone by when fairies and giants and all kinds of magic held sway. The tears I have shed, the tears I have seen. The excitement of laughter and the twinkle in the eye with its reminder that life is good. For all these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I finger one by one the messages of hope that awaited me at the crossroads. The smile of approval from those who held in their hands their reins of my security. The tightening of the grip in a single handshake when I feared the step before me in the darkness. The whisper in my heart when the temptation was fiercest and the claims of appetite were not to be denied. The crucial word said, the simple sentence from an open page when my decision hung in the balance. For all of these, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I pass before me the mainsprings of my heritage, the fruits of the labors of countless generations who've lived before me, without whom my own life would have no meaning, the seers who saw visions and dreamed dreams, the prophets who sensed a truth greater than the mind could grasp, and whose words could only find fulfillment in the years which they would never see, the workers whose sweat has watered the trees, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations, the pilgrims who set their sails for lands beyond all horizons, whose courage made paths into new worlds in far-off places, the saviors whose blood was shed with a recklessness that only a dream could inspire and God could command. For all this, I make an act of thanksgiving this day. I linger over the meaning of my own life and the commitment to which I give the loyalty of my heart and mind, the little purposes in which I've shared with my loves, my desires, my gifts. The restlessness which bottoms all I do with its stark insistence that I've never done my best, I have never dared to reach for the highest. The big hope that never quite deserts me, that I and my kind will study war no more, that love and tenderness and all the inner graces of almighty affection will cover the life of the children of God as the waters cover the seas. All these and more than mind can think and heart can feel, I make as my sacrament of thanksgiving to Thee, our Father, in humbleness of mind and simplicity of heart. Amen. Yes. Always begin and end with thanksgiving for every day and for the love that we experience in Christ and with one another. Well, we are on 1 John, and I'm going to jump in chapter 3, verse 16 and following to chapter 4, verse 6. It says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. That sound familiar? Yes. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are far from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He's given us. All of this, folks, right from the Gospel of John. We hear those same words poured out with basin and towel from Jesus and those first disciples as they got to know God's heart. We turn our attention in love for one another, not just in word, but in action. It's why here at Grace we say grace in action. We want it to meet real felt needs. We want it to engage in the hurts and hopes of humanity. We want it to have footsteps and wheels and movement to it. We desire not to be a parked car, but one that's at least in neutral so God can move us where we need to be. God can roll us in to the places that God needs us to be. For God's love to abide in us, we meet the hurts and hopes, whatever those are. Now, right prior to that verse that I read at the beginning, there was this challenge of us to be more than what we've maybe learned of in the past. And it talks about Cain and murdering his brother. And he talks about, again, this word hate. And whoever does not love abides in death. And that's a missing the mark, a missing out, again, on how it is that we are called to love. And so when we're out there tearing down and destroying and plucking away, we're actually destroying what God is seeking to do, what God is seeking to build. And we need to step away from those destructive intents and to move into loving purposes. And this is then what eternal life looks like. This is what love looks like. It is born from the character of that individual living out from the cross and in the hope. Life suggests here more than just the body, but the very soul, the psyche, the whole being, and the person, the whole human being that you are coming to life. With the hope that God's love would abide there, that God's heart would beat there, and that as you surrender life and as you surrender some material possession, that love is born. Love being the gift, love being the lifestyle, love providing the nurture and the hope. Well, after that section on love, beginning at chapter 4, it talks about the Spirit and the testing of the Spirit. It says, "Beloved, do not believe in every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that doesn't confess that is not from God." And that's the spirit of the Antichrist, bringing that back from the previous chapter, taking you away from the testimony of a living Lord. "And little children, you are from God. For the one who is in you is greater than those who are in the world. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. From this we know the spirit of truth is alive in us." Well, as you think about a testing of the spirits, I like that challenge and that word there. Because a testing of the spirits draws me to think about how am I testing other voices, other visions, other ideas, other thoughts? What am I filling up in, and what am I also discerning and then, you know, pushing away or saying, yeah, I'm not so sure about that? And how am I staying open as well, not shut down or cut off from? Because again, remember, relationship matters. And how am I staying open? But how would you test something from someone that declares to know God's truth or is advocating for something different than maybe you've known? And then the question that you tag on to that is, how would your community around you sit in that place of tension? And how would you walk through that, converse through it, test each other through it? Because we don't want to be, of course, led astray, but we know there's many, 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 many conflicting voices. And so we're always having to discern and pay attention. And I've talked about this before, lifelong learning and lifelong growth, staying open, staying in the conversation, but discerning, what is all this really about? And I think the author here wants to warn against gullibility of people just hearing new ideas or thoughts and saying, oh yeah, that sounds good, I'll go with it, without ever pausing and saying, let me think about that a little bit. And the gullibility factor is huge for the writer of John, because again, if you're speaking to a community who did not maybe have access to manuscripts, could not read and write, and it was from verbal testimony only, you really have to sit and process and also say, did I hear what I think he said? The same would have been true of Jesus as he was teaching, and people passing the word down the hillside, almost like the game of telephone. And it gets further and further from the author, the speaker, it might get changed or nuanced a little bit. So we want to test those ideas out. We want to go back and ask questions and try to seek a deeper understanding of what the teacher or the author is pointing to. And I think this author really wants us to think about the essence of God and God's being in the world. And as we love one another, to know that we're doing that because there's something greater that's calling us to live that way. And that reference again of speaking lovingly, not talking down to, but little children. Always saying this word, little children, the little ones. We want to grow up into this new life that we're hearing about. Who among us is not a little one in terms of standing in the testimony and the history of God in the world? We're constantly having to pay attention and to be discerning and to listen. So there's power and there's presence in that. So as you discern and as you talk with others, how do you test out these things of God's truth? How do you live that more into your life? And how do you embrace what God needs from you in terms of loving one another, laying down our lives for the sake of the other? Stay thirsty, my friends. Peace and hope. Until next Thursday, God's peace be with you all.